I'm married to Fiona. I've got a picture up coming up of my family. I've been married for, better get this right, about 14 years. We have three boys. They're pretty young. There's Simeon, who's turning six. There they are. Simeon, who's six, Reuben, who's four, and Jeremiah, who's two. A family like that means early starts in the morning, busy days. Those of you who have kids that age, it's good fun, isn't it? But that's my family now, but I almost missed out on that family. You see, when I was dating my wife-to-be, I made a pretty big mistake. Pretty embarrassing. I'm still pretty embarrassed about telling it even now. We've been going out for about 6 months and we were pretty keen on one another. And then out of the blue, I caught up with some old school friends. And one of them happened to be an ex-girlfriend of mine. And so the next day, I saw my girlfriend, who's called Fiona, who I married, and I accidentally called her the name of my ex-girlfriend, Belinda. What a mistake. What a shocker. She was upset. Fiona was pretty mad. And rightly so. But I said that I was sorry. And I think it took a bit of time, but she forgave me. What a mistake. That's a pretty big mistake to make with a girlfriend, isn't it? You might have made some mistakes yourself. Some bigger, some or some smaller than this. And this morning, as we saw in the kids' talk, we're going to look at mistakes. The biggest mistake that you can make. Way bigger than even my mistake. It's a mistake that will have consequences forever. It will last for eternity. But it's a mistake that can be fixed. So how about I pray for God's help as we look at this? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we hear from you this morning, we ask that you will help us. We pray that you will help us to see who you are, help us to see who we are, and help us to see what you've done for us. Please help me to speak clearly and truthfully about this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look closely at the chapter we just read from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 23, and we're going to see there are three types of people. There's three types of people. The first people who are people who make a joke out of Jesus. The second group of people is someone who trusts him, and the third is Jesus himself. So we're looking at three groups of people. The first group, well, you might be like this. I think most Australians are like this. We make a huge joke out of Jesus. We mock him. They say, and you might say, he saved others. But save yourself. If you're king, save yourself. If you're God's chosen one. And what they're really saying is that if you're king, then what are you doing on a cross? Show us the power. Bring your army. Kings don't belong on a cross. That's not the throne room. They're saying he's not a king. He has no proof that he's a king. But what they do say is that he saved others. Did you notice that? They said he saved others, but he can't save himself. He's no king, but he's pretty good for other people. How is it that he saved others? Well, that'd have to be referring to the miracles that he did in the area. They'd seen dead people raised. They've seen bread fed to thousands. They've seen demons cast out. They've been sickness healed. He can save others. He can do those great things, but he can't save himself. This might be like you. You might think Jesus is a pretty good guy. He did some pretty amazing things, but it's just not for me. It's for other people. You're kind of holding him back at arm's length. You might be like these people. And to be like this, well, that's the biggest mistake that you can make. But it's a mistake that can be fixed. He might be like the soldiers, who are another group like him, like the crowd. They mock him. They wouldn't have seen the miracles because they're soldiers stuck in the capital. They might not know that he claims to be a king, but they could read the sign above him that he claims to be king. But soldiers know that a king doesn't belong on a cross, and so they make a joke out of him. You might be like these soldiers. You might know almost nothing about him, but he's good enough for a joke. To be like this, well, that's the biggest mistake that you can make. But it's a mistake that can be fixed. You might be like a third person like this, a criminal. He hung there and hurled insults. He says, "Save yourself and us." To this criminal, well, being good, well, he's not, is he? He's not trying to be good. He's not trying to prove that he's innocent. He just wants to get down off that cross and live. He wants to get away. Jesus, well, I think it's a matter of convenience for him. He'll take anyone who can help him at this point. Are you like this criminal that treats God like a last option? It's like he's a genie in a bottle solving your problem when nothing else can. Well, to be like this is to make the biggest mistake you can make. But it's a mistake that can be fixed. So we've seen three people so far. The crowd, who hold him at arm's length. He can heal others, but he can't heal him, save himself. We've seen soldiers who know very little, but make a joke. And we've seen a criminal who's desperate to be helped, but just makes a joke out of it. Wants God to help him like a genie in a bottle. Are you like one of these? I can think of times in my life I was like that. I grew up and I knew very little about Jesus, and I thought I was all a bit stupid, not real. And then I knew more information. I thought, oh, that's pretty good, but it's good enough for other people. It's not for me. And I think even now sometimes I treat God like a bit of a genie in a bottle. Well, to be like this is to make the biggest mistake you can. But it's a mistake that can be fixed. The reason why this is the biggest mistake you can make is because this is the heart of every mistake you can make. This mistake is to reject God and deny him any place in your life. This mistake is to make God nothing, irrelevant. It's where we choose to be God. We make our own decisions and we make ourselves God and replace him in our lives. This mistake is to continue to ignore God. That's what these three people were doing. They're denying that God is doing something here with Jesus. They say, no, it can't be true. So they make a joke out of it. But this mistake can be fixed. There is a different response. We hear from the second criminal, who's also killed along with Jesus. And what does this criminal do? He rebukes the first. He says, mate, what are you doing? We're dying. You're guilty. Don't you fear God, who's going to judge you after you die? See, this criminal feared God. He knew that he was dying on a cross and he was going to meet his maker. He couldn't get away from that. He has a fear of what's going to happen after he dies. He's afraid, and fear makes us respond. When I think of fear, I think of when I was just married to Fiona, and this was the day where there weren't GPS. You had to go get street directories. And I went out to the car to get my street directory. I was leaving early in the morning. And just as I got it out, I shut the door, I locked the car with the button. And just as I pressed that button, I heard the loudest noise I've ever heard. It was massive. I've got goosebumps. It still makes me react. It was a massive noise. And I ran up the steps to the house, I ran as far as I could in the house, and I ended up kind of in the back corner in the bathroom. And I stood there. I kind of probably would have run through the wall if I could have. But I was terrified. I just ran. What had happened was there was a storm passing by. We hadn't had any rain or lightning or thunder, but a lightning bolt had hit a tree about 20 metres away and blew the tree up. And I was terrified. I ran. See, fear made me run. I had to do something. There was no chance that I could stay where I was. Fear made me do something. That's what this criminal has. He's got a fear of God, who he's just about to meet. He knows he needs to do something. He knows he's guilty. He's going to meet his maker. This fear makes us honest with ourselves, I think. This fear of God. This fear makes us see that we've made mistakes. Big ones, like mine, with my wife. Little ones as well. See, we're not the people we want to be, are we? This fear also makes us seek help for our mistakes, to see how our mistakes can be fixed. This fear shows that we're guilty. See, what this criminal does, he admits that he's getting punished justly. Have you ever admitted to being punished justly? If you've got a speeding ticket and say, yeah, I deserve that. We always say, I didn't deserve that. Something else caused me to get it. It's not my fault. This criminal is on the cross. He's naked in front of the whole crowd. He's guilty. And he says, I deserve this. He can't hide from God any longer. He knows that he's getting what his deeds deserve. He's guilty. And so are we. See, God knows everything about you. God knows what you are ashamed of. God knows what you're embarrassed about. God knows what you don't want anyone else to know. So we're to be like this criminal and own up. Yes, I'm guilty. But because God knows all about you, all your secrets, he wants you to stop pretending that you're good enough for him. He knows all your mistakes, but he's made a way to fix it as well. And the way to fix it is to be like the criminal who looks over to Jesus, they're both on that cross, and he says, this man has done nothing wrong. Now, this is a criminal. He knows what's right and wrong. He's made a career out of breaking the law. He knows who's guilty. But he says, Jesus is innocent. He says, Jesus is innocent. He admits that he's guilty. I've done wrong, but Jesus is innocent. I deserve this death. But he deserves life. Now, this is really important. If Jesus was guilty of even one sin, he would deserve his own death. He would be dying for himself. But he's innocent. See, God chose to pay the price for your sin by sending an innocent son. If two prisoners, two criminals on the cross were to exchange their criminal record, nothing had happened. They're both still guilty. But because Jesus was innocent, he can pay the price for you. And because Jesus is innocent, this criminal does one more thing. He pleads for help. He asks for God to help him. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's pretty amazing, seeing a dead guy on a cross and saying, yes, you're a king, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But he's affirming what the others made a joke of. And then we finally hear from Jesus. He gives him a response. He hasn't answered the other ones. He's ignored them. But to this guy, he says, I tell you the truth. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And here Jesus, he's giving life even as he is dying. He's offering paradise to this criminal. Paradise meaning, well, really a whole lot of things. A return to the garden. A return to a right relationship with God. A fixing up of your mistakes. See, Jesus is offering paradise. The criminal couldn't say that he had earned paradise. The criminal couldn't say that he deserved paradise, but Jesus was offering it. And he received it by simply looking to Jesus and acknowledging that he's King, pleading for help. And friends, the same is for us. We might not be dying on a cross, so I don't think anyone's going to do that soon. But we're just as guilty as those criminals. Don't think you have to be good enough to become a Christian. You can't be. Don't think you have to be good enough to stay a Christian. You can't be. We all make mistakes. And we'll continue to make mistakes. But it's like when we're like this criminal, who admit that we are guilty and we need God's help, and so can be restored to a right relationship. Now, if you're not fully convinced that Jesus is a king, I don't know if I'm sure from this passage that Jesus is a king. He's a dead guy, or dying guy on a cross. This passage, I think, I would be joking along with the rest of the people. But what makes this guy a king is not what he does on the cross, but it's what he does after the cross, isn't it? See, he rises up from the dead. I'm sure you know this. See, he doesn't look like a king on that cross. That's because he's king of a different kingdom. It's not one with land and boundaries and throne rooms on earth. See, he's a king of a different kingdom. This kingdom is a kingdom that lasts forever. It's a kingdom that beats death, that fixes your mistake. It's a kingdom that is very different to one that we can see. See, Jesus came back alive. And so this kingdom can endure. It's beaten sin and death. Life and paradise is what this kingdom is about. So my challenge to you, you might be a Christian, you might have been a Christian many years. My challenge to you is don't think that you can be good enough for God. God knows all about you. What you don't want other people to know, he knows. And because he knows, he provides a way for you to be in a relationship with him. You can have paradise, not because you're good, but because he is. So don't let anything creep between you and your king. He is the only way to have paradise. To those who might have heard this message for the first time or many times before as well, I encourage you, I plead with you to be like this criminal who receives a clear record, who receives those mistakes being wiped away. See, we all make mistakes and we'll continue to make them. I've made many more with my wife. But the greatest mistake you can do is to not let God fix them. The greatest mistake is to make a joke out of how God has fixed your mistakes. I beg you, look to Jesus. See that you've made mistakes. See that he is innocent and plead for help. You know, when I made a mistake of calling my wife the wrong name, I asked her forgiveness. I said sorry. The worst thing I could have done was to say, "Oh, it doesn't matter. You look a bit like her." Or, "You remind me of her." What a terrible thing to make a joke of it, isn't it? Instead, I owned up. I said, "Yeah, look, I'm really sorry. I meant nothing by it. I'm sorry." She forgave me. The same is true with God. He knows you're guilty. So look to Jesus as your King who can fix your mistakes. Will you say to the King, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Well, Jesus will answer you, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you in fear, knowing that you are God and we aren't. We come before you in fear and reverence, for you will judge us. And so we acknowledge our sin. We know we're guilty. We deserve death. But we also know that Jesus was innocent. We know he died for us to pay the price for our mistakes. And so in him we plead for forgiveness. Remember us, Lord, as you come into your kingdom. Amen.